Today. do not Mehati discharge salmon. Kim weather. Grame in the locality. Pashava beastly living beings. Apare others. To the tree translation and per quote by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Amen.
Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us are the bees, do the beasts not eat and discharge salmon? Per quote. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life or part of it is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for the maximum duration of existence, for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry, and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development or advancement in materialistic science, for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking, and merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence, so that one may enter into the eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. Materialists want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. They want to get maximum comforts in this present life because they think conclusively that there is no life after death. This ignorance about the eternality of the living being and the change of covering the material world has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans to modernize man. The plans for solving the problems of society have only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life, more than 100 years, advancement in human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavan, there is a tamarind tree. The place is known as Himlatala, which is said to have existed before the time of Lord Krishna. At Calcutta, Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years. And there are many such trees all over the world. Swami Sandracharya lived only 32 years, and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged lives of the above-mentioned trees are more important than Shankar or Chaitanya? Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important, but they doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe. The modern scientists like Bose have already proved that there is life in plants, so breathing is not a sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathes very soundly, but that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialists will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared, because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam says, whether other animals like the dogs and hogs, living in the same village with human beings, do not eat and enjoy sexual life? The specific utterance of the Bhagavatam in regard to other animals means that persons who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life, consisting of eating, breathing, and mating, are also animals in the shape of human beings. The society has said polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity, for an animal can easily harm other animals, but rarely do good. Tarva kimna jivanti, vastra kimna shvasantita, yakadanti namehanti, kimbrame pashvapare. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Something here is that it says tarva should be the plural, isn't it? Because jivanti is plural. Nitya. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthava Vidaya Srimadhi Bhakti Vidanta Swami Vidanya Namaste Sarasatunde De Kauravani Matarne Nirvishesha Srimadhi Prasthika Kyaade. I think we've heard this before. Something about Nanya Deho Deho Bhaja Riloke Kastan Karman Arhate Vis Pujanye Our Prashadev is telling his 100 sons, my dear boys, don't become a hog or a dog. Because the business of the hogs and dogs is to eat vid, vidbhuja. So vid means stool, vid. So, such occupation of eating stool is not very pleasant, but that's what the hogs and dogs do. If you go to Vrindavan, you'll see that that's actually what they do. They walk around all day long, and they're stiffly looking for stool. They sit in the sewers, open their mouth, and everything just flows into their mouth, and their big smile, quite satisfied. So human life is not meant for it. If a human being did that, they'd arrest him probably and put him into the same asylum. But human life is meant for tapasya. Ta pa. Ta pa means to heat. To heat up. Heat up in the sense of becoming spiritualized. The less one engages in sense gratification, then the more one becomes purified. Maharaj Vishwaste says that if you practice the proper tapasya, then tapodivyam putraka yena sadvam shudyad kasmat brahmashokyam randam. Then you can get eternal life, which is full of happiness and goes on forever. And what is that tapasya? Krishna says, deva dvija guru pragya pujanam Sosham Arjavam, Brahmacharyam Ahimsam Cha, Shariram Tapa Uchade. So austerity of the body consists in Deva Dvija Guru Pragya. Worship of the Devas, specifically Krishna, the head of the Devas. Guru, Deva Dvija, the twice born Brahmins. Guru, the spiritual master, Pragya, the learned persons. Pujanam, so salcham, aparjavam. So salcham means cleanliness, and arjavam means simplicity. Brahmacharyam, himsam, cha, celibacy, nonviolence. Shariram, tapa, ujite. So these are the austerities of the body. And for the austerity of the mind is anavegam, rambhakyam, satyam, prihitam, chaya. Svadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vamayam tap uchite. So austerity of the body consists in speaking words that are truthful, satyam, priya, pleasing, hitam, beneficial, anuvegam, which don't agitate the minds of others, and svadhyaya, study the Vedic literature. In other words, what one said should be backed up by authority, by spiritual authority. So this is austerity of speech. So when we're speaking, we should try to see what I'm saying, if it's truthful, if it's pleasing. Not that it should only be truthful. You walk up to someone and say, I just want to be truthful, I don't like your face. So that type of truthfulness is what goes on in truthfulness, not the whole aspect of austerity of speech. One should also say some things that are pleasing and that are beneficial and that don't agitate the minds of others and which actually base upon spiritual authority. So if one thinks before one speaks that I have to have these qualities of speech, then certainly what we probably wouldn't say anything to somebody. Be a lot less talking. We become a lot more thoughtful. And there would be a lot less problems. Sunara, most of the problems we have is because they said this thing to me, and it agitated my mind, and therefore I did this and said this, and it agitated their minds, and therefore we have the McCoys and the Hatfields. In America they have the McCoys and the Hatfields, who go on year after year, generation after generation, fighting with each other. Because someone five generations before said this to so-and-so, and therefore the fight goes on. In other words, if we are very careful what we're saying, seeing that it's pleasing, it's truthful, it doesn't agitate the minds of others, it's beneficial, it's spiritual, then certainly all the relationships that we have will certainly improve greatly. And to the mind, manah prasadam samyatvam, maunam atma vinigraha, bhava samshiti ityeka, tapau manasam uchite. So austerity of the mind, and the mind is very difficult to control, but if we can make the mind austere, then it becomes our friend. So austerity of the mind begins with manah prasad. That means satisfaction of the mind. Generally, the mind is always dissatisfied because we're always thinking about what we don't have. The senses are always hankering for objects, and therefore there's no question of satisfaction in the mind if we're always thinking that I'm lacking something. A devotee who's thinking of Krishna and taking pleasure in thinking about Krishna, he doesn't feel he lacks something. And for one who's not in Krishna consciousness, certainly they'll think they're lacking everything. As Vamanadeva told Bali Maharaj, when he simply asked for three steps of land, and Bali Maharaj said, I'm the master of the universe, why are you only asking for three steps of land? I can give you a kingdom. But Vamanadeva said, but if a Brahma is not satisfied, then with whatever he can easily handle, then he won't be satisfied even if he gets the whole universe. That was true. Vamanadeva, he expanded himself to Trivikram, took the whole universe, and still he wasn't satisfied. Therefore, he wanted to know where he should put his next step. And even after he put it on the head of Bali Maharaj, still he wasn't satisfied. And he pushed Bali down to the subterranean Sutala planets. Just see if you're not satisfied with it. He got three steps of land, he still wasn't satisfied. Of course, he is satisfied, but this is just a pastime. But if one is not satisfied with what one has, if one is always hankering for something more, then there's no question of manah prasadam. Samyatvam, one should be equal in all different circumstances. Mona, the Prabhupada said, mona doesn't mean that one shouldn't say anything. But it means that one should be grave. Grave means that one should think of Krishna consciousness and not let the mind deviate from thinking about serving Krishna. Mona, atma vinigraha. So atma vinigraha means satisfaction of self. What does atma vinigraha mean? Control of the self. So one control the mind. And bhava samshiti, a purification of one's existence. So to purify existence, Prabhupada recommends that we study the Vedic literature, that generally we study all kinds of novels, newspapers, just to agitate the mind. But if one studies the Vedic literature, then the mind will become satisfied. So this is austerity in terms of speech. And then Krishna says that Sharaya Pariyaptaptam Tastat Sri Vidam Narai Apalakanshivir Yukdai Satyakam Parishakshate. This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits but engaging only for the sake of the Supreme is called austerity and goodness. So these austerities will elevate, purify our consciousness and elevate us to a position where we can easily become Krishna conscious. But it's not that only the devotees are engaged in austerity. But practically speaking, everyone in the material world is engaged in austerity. Sakkaramana puja dham, the Sapo, Dandena Chaya, Kriyate, Bahulaya, Swaktaiha, Protam, Radhasam, Chalam, Adhiva. So penance performed out of pride for the sake of gaining respect, honor, worship, said to be devoted to passion, is neither stable nor permanent. So currently the Olympic Games are going on. You didn't know about that. And the whole world, I don't know how many people, probably billions of people, are watching the Olympic Games. They're watching people jump up into the air, swim underneath the water, run, so many different things. And the people who are doing these things, they've been probably, when they were 5 years old or 3 years old, their parents said, run. And they, had them running around the racetracks in Sudan 3. They haven't stopped since then. And what is the whole point? Is to get some honor. They probably don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't think of anything. They just run, or they jump, or they throw some ball somewhere. And their whole life is based on it. If they don't get this honor, then their whole life is a failure. If they can't run, if they can't jump, higher than a kangaroo, if they can't run faster than, a cheetah, if they can't jump farther than a frog, then their whole life is a failure. So this is certainly the mode of passion. And everyone's watching them. And they can, they can swim better than a fish. And people think, oh, this person is really worthy of respect. The fish, they're cooking, frying the fish. They have no respect for the fish. But because this person can swim like a fish, people will think, oh, he's very respectful. Because he can jump as high as a flea, therefore he's worthy of my honor and respect. Everyone's watching him, the whole country's praying for him. My dear Lord, please let him jump higher than a flea. So this is called the mode of passion. And Muda Grihinatmanoya, Pidaya Kriyate Pa. Parasya Savanatamba Tamasamudarita. So penance performed out of foolishness, to self torture, destroy anger others, is said to be motivating. So in modern, probably gives the example of Hiranyakashipu, who prayed that, and he did penance so he can get some power, but his power so he can conquer over the whole universe. Or a good example is Vrikasura, who was cutting his own flesh from his body, throwing it into the fire, for the purpose of getting a benediction to destroy others. So similarly, in modern society, people, the scientists, have undergone great penance and austerity. What for? Many of them used to invent weapons to destroy everyone. People working hard, giving their money to the paying the taxes. What for? So the scientists can use it and invent ways to destroy them. So this is certainly the mode of ignorance. And what is all based on? Chintyam aparyam ja pralayam dhamupashikya kama papoga paramam etavam ikinischitya asya pashishuparavada kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bhogaradam ayenartha sanchaya. They say that this, their belief that to gratify the senses under the end of life is a prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. If one takes their goal of life is to gratify the senses, then how can there be any end to anxiety? Because the more one tries to gratify the senses, the less they become gratified. Being absorbed in hundreds and thousands of desires, just like modern society, is all attempt to expand everyone's material desires. If one has no material desires, he's considered to be unhealthy. He's considered to be a disturbance to society, unproductive, a parasite. That people are encouraged to have as many material desires as possible. That's what keeps the society strong and progressive. Every day, every year they take the thermometer and find out what the gross national product is. And the country is producing millions and trillions of useless things, is considered to be very strong and healthy, in good condition. And if it's simply surviving with the necessities of life, never mind that consciousness of the people is in a higher state, is considered to be primitive, unprogressive. Because the whole thing is to absorb people in desires to buy things. Work hard so you can buy things. And what do you do with the things? You store them in your house, in the attic, in the garage, and when you get too many things, then build an extension in your house so you can store more things in the extension. And when they get old and you can't, then just throw them out and just buy some more things. Modern society is just like the ass where they tie the carrot in front of him on a stick. And he thinks one step and I'm closer to the carrot, but the carrot moves one stick in front of him. One foot in front of him. So he moves one foot closer to the carrot, and then the carrot advances one foot away from him. So he's always running after the carrot. I remember like 5 years ago, they had these computers, you know, 386 computers. And they said, buy a 386 computer because it's for the power users. So yeah, I want to be a power user. So people bought the 386 computer, you know, $5,000 or something. And then every 6 months they come out with this faster computer. So what was a power user 5 years ago was, you know, a cripple. If one has a 386, people laugh. A crippled user. But I was a power user, now you're a cripple user. One foot, you know, so every 6 months they come out with something twice as fast to the new power users. But the fact is people using these computers, sitting at the desk after some time, just looking at the screen, all the power in their eyes fail, the power in their hands fail, they can't digest anything. The so-called power users, they have no power. They lose all their power. All the power is in the computer. They can't think, they can't breathe, they can't move. Only the computer can do something for them. So this is called hundreds and thousands of desires. Prabhupada says that they're having sex life at home and now they have to go, they're bored, so they have to go to the movies and watch people having sex life in the movies. Then they get bored, so they go to the naked dance show, and that's boring. So they have to watch it on the internet. Something new. The same old thing. Puna puna charvita charvana. But this time they think it's going to be something new and exciting. So that's modern society. It's the same old thing, but simply a little slightly different dress, a little different covering, and they say this is something new. And people are working hard in order to so-called enjoy the same old thing again and again and again. And what they've done is they've simply made it more difficult to just get the basic necessities of life, get the basic things to eat, to sleep, to mate, to fend. They've just made it more difficult, and people think it's exciting now. Just like modern society, 50 years ago, the woman would stay home and take care of the children, do the house cleaning and cook, actually cook real food for real people. But now the women are liberated. Liberated to do what? To go work in the steel factory. Or to work in the office, become a lawyer or whatever, make money. The husband's making money. The children are at home watching, you know, Bugs Bunny shoot up shoot, you know, Captain Kangaroo or something. With his machine gun. And it's progress. So the lady comes home at night, the man comes home at night. Both of them, they can't, the two bodies, they can't cook. So they, you know, throw some frozen dinner into the oven or something, some pre-cooked meal, and they gobble it down. They don't even know what it was. They can't remember exactly what they ate. And they think that this is progress. That instead of having a peaceful life with fresh food and clean air, good, nice relationships, you know, people, in order to become peaceful, they read the newspaper to find out, you know, what war is going on where, just to make them feel better. So this is certainly product of the modes of ignorance and passion. So here it says that human society is not meant for these things. The human society is meant that even one moment of clear consciousness is better than a life living like a tree for hundreds and thousands of years. Because if one can become Krishna conscious, then one can actually find out what is our real interest in life. Actually speaking, the essence of what everyone is doing is that everyone is looking for happiness. The reason why people are working hard is that they are investing their energies in order to find some happiness. But because they're being misdirected to the temporary happiness in this material world, therefore they don't actually get the real happiness they're looking for. But if they can find even a moment's pleasure in Krishna consciousness, then they can get the actual direction of life that they're hankering for. So Sridev Goswami will explain here that hearing the messages of Krishna, living a simple life, is simply much better than a decorated life, full of decorations just for temporary sense gratification, which are available even to the hogs and dogs. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, this category is that the dimensions of austerity of the mind and the body, are they meant for devotees only or brahmanas, or like there was ahimsa?
Any sane person, meant for everyone. Mm-hmm. Even in the Vedic culture, even the Shudras show respect to the higher classes.
Mm-hmm. But for instance, there was ahimsa, so the kshatriya cannot become.
He cannot become. Yeah, well, sometimes some of these qualities. But it's not that. Ahimsa, the kshatriyas are generally they're non-violent except when it's necessary.
Maharaj, you were speaking about the austerity of speech and how it should be pleasing to the other person. So sometimes we have to say things which are not pleasing. How do we
say them in a pleasing way? Just like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he didn't tell Arjuna you're a fool. He said that learned people don't talk like you do. So we try to make it a little bit more pleasing to Arjuna. Instead of saying you're a fool number one, he said learned people don't talk like you. So Sanara had to say something. Yes.
Marsh, it seems that, like with Srila Prabhupada, when his disciples were completely surrendered to him, or, you know, pretty surrendered to him, but sometimes he speaks quite strongly to them. So it seems that it might be somewhat of an exceptional situation. He should tell him some kind of what he's like.
Yeah, so Prabhupada said that one should not, the purport, one should not speak in such a way as to agitate others, unless one is his disciple. For a disciple, kind of Kanya says, unless you chastise them, then they won't develop. They won't advance. So, actually, the disciple, they're really willing to undergo discipline, then you have to chastise them, you have to point out their faults. If you just praise someone all the time, they'll get puffed up. That won't help them very much. But if you point out their faults, then they can make some improvements. So, probably didn't do that to everyone, but to those who actually accept it. And sometimes they didn't even accept it. But at least, you know, they were officially disciples. And that was probably suited.
Afraid that they'll become unpopular with them and they'll remove you from your position.